wants to move down. Air conditioning works here, doesn't work back there. If you want to stay hot, stay hot. What does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? I know this. If I do not personally receive Him, I will not be saved. So what does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Most of what goes on under the name of what is called Christianity, you know that word's not in the Bible. Most of what goes on under the name of Christianity makes the act of receiving Christ the act of salvation. Now, what do I mean by that? God loves all men and wants all men to be saved. Christ died for all men. And God the Holy Spirit is calling all men. But as to whether or not you're saved, it's up to whether or not you will receive Him. Thus, the act of reception is the act of salvation. If you receive Him, you can pray the prayer of the Pharisee. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. I received You. They had the same opportunity I did. They didn't, but I did. Glory be to me, I received You. I am the difference. These other people who didn't receive You, they could have, but they didn't. But I did, thus making the act of reception the act of salvation. I remember one time, this has been a long time ago, I was trying to preach the gospel to somebody. And I don't know whether I was muddy in the waters at the time. I probably was, but I ended up with this. There's nothing any man can do to save themselves. And this man objected. He said, well, we can receive Him. We can receive Him. If I receive Him, I'll be saved. And God desires everybody's salvation. He wills the salvation of all men, but the difference is this act of reception. One man's willingness to receive Christ and the other's unwillingness to do so. The act of receiving Christ is the act of salvation. I'd say that would be true in 99% of the religious assemblies in Lexington, Kentucky. They would agree with that. The act of reception is the act of salvation. Your eternal destiny is in your hands, whether or not you decide to receive Him or reject Him. Now, that's false doctrine. That's salvation by works. There is not a drop of gospel in that message that makes your reception or your rejection of Christ the determining factor of your salvation. You see, the reception of Christ is not the act of salvation. It's not the determining factor in salvation. It's the result of salvation. If God gives Himself to me, I will receive Him. Amen. And if I fail to receive Him, He was never given to me. God doesn't give something and somebody doesn't take it. That never happens. If He gives you His Son, you receive Him. Now, what does it mean to receive Him? You know, I can remember times when I've heard preachers say, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've thought to myself, I would if I knew what that meant. What does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Let's begin right there. Don't miss that. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And my dear friends, if it's given to me or you, you know what? We will receive. Well, what does that look like? What does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 10. He was in the world. Now, who is this one who was in the world? Well, in the very context, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. What a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word. Now, when I speak words, or even a word, it's meaningless unless there is action behind that word. My words and my actions may not be brought together. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God is the action of God. He doesn't have to do anything. If He says it, it's done. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the action of God. He's the Word. As I said, this means so much more than if I said, here's my words. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But when God speaks, that's His action. It's done. I can say something and it doesn't mean it's done. But when He speaks, it's done. He is the Word of God. He is what God says when what comes out of His mind and heart comes out. He's the expression. He is God's Word. When God speaks, this is His Word. What a glorious thing with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, a separate person. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. This world that He came into, He made it. All things. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. All things were made by Him. And John puts an addition to this to make sure we understand what he's saying. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. This one who came into the world is life. He is life. If I am saved by the grace of God, it's His life that's my life before God. That's our boldness to come into God's presence. His life, not my life. His life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the life was the light of men. Now, the only light we have as to who God is Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. All me and you are ever going to know of God is Jesus Christ. He's the one who was with God. He's the one who was God. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the Scripture says, the world knew Him not. Now, I want you to think about that. He made the world. He came into the world. And the world knew Him not. Now that means a whole lot more than just they didn't know who He was, although they didn't. It means they didn't love who He was. When He says to those that he casts away. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It doesn't mean he didn't know who they were or everything about them or what their names were. It means I never loved you. I never knew you to love me. I never knew you to be united to me. And what the problem is with these people, and it's all of us by nature, he came into the world and the world was made by him and the world had no love for him. I don't know of anything that could be more incriminating than that. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. That's why I came, to save sinners. And the world knew him not. No natural man will ever be able to say, I love Jesus Christ. You know, Peter could say, Lord, you know all things. You can look straight right through me. You know all things, and you know that I love your person. I love who you are. Now, as soon as we start thinking about our love to Christ, obviously we're going to think, I don't love him as much as I should. And you're right about that. He's infinitely worth more love than all of us could give to him. But we do love him. We do love him. Don't think about your love. You think about his person, his glory, his excellency. You'll love him. Then John says in verse 11, he came unto his own. Now that's talking about the Jewish people. He was a Jew, born a Jew, God's chosen people. You know, the Gentiles had no Bible. The Gentiles had no revelation from God. The Jews did. They had the oracles of God. They had the word of God. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. They rejected him. The universal cry, we will not have this man reign over us. All the Jews turned thumbs down on him. They rejected him. The scripture says he was despised and we esteemed him not. But verse 12. But. That's the word of God's grace, isn't it? But. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. But. That's the but of grace. I'm so thankful for that word. But. As many as received him. As many as received him. Now let's think about this term, as many as, for a moment. As many as received him. The whole population that received him. The whole demographic that received him. Peter, when preaching on the day of Pentecost, says the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. What rule? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I have confidence in is who he is and what he did. And I am relying completely on who he is and what he did as What's going to bring me into heaven? My works don't enter in. It's not me. Now, as many as walk according to this rule, glorying only in the cross, peace be upon them. The Lord says, as many as I love. You hear that? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's a specific people. As many as received him. Now, when you get paid, you don't grovel and say, oh, thank you, I didn't deserve this. You worked for that money, didn't you? You take it. You receive a gift. A free gift. You receive it. As many as received him. Of his fullness have we all received. When he gives, we receive. Now, what does this mean to receive him? This is very simple. It's to receive his words. There's no receiving him apart from receiving his words. What he says. Listen to this scripture from John chapter 17, verse 8. I have given them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them. Now that's what it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to receive his words. He cannot be separated from what he said. Do you remember when the Lord looked at the 12 as the 5,000 left him? He said, will you also go away? What a question. He watched these people leave. And this is so solemn to me. He watched these people leave. And he didn't say, let me restate that. Maybe I can say that in a better way that'll keep you here. He didn't say, y'all come on back. He watched them leave. And he looked at the 12. And he said, will you also go away? And I love Peter's response. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. To receive him is to receive every word he said. To receive him, to receive his person, is to receive his benefits. What do you mean by that? Well, the scripture says we are said to receive the Holy Spirit. Here's what happened. He gave him, we receive him. He gave the forgiveness of sins. We receive it. The complete, full, free forgiveness of sins. He gave his grace. We receive it. He gave the promise of eternal inheritance. We receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He gave his mercy. We receive his mercy. We read of the gift of righteousness. He gave us the gift of righteousness. We receive the gift of righteousness. He gave us the atonement. And the scripture says we receive the atonement. We receive what he did. His atoning blood. He gave the adoption of sons. We receive the adoption of sons. He gives the knowledge of the things freely given to us of God. We receive the knowledge of the things freely given to us of God. Now, Scripture says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't do it. For they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He lacks the ability to know them because they're spiritually discerned. You have to have God, the Holy Spirit, to hear the gospel. It's impossible apart from him. To receive him is to receive all of the benefits he gives us. So when you receive his person, you receive his word. I bow, I believe, I love his word. And you receive his saving benefits. Now, you know who he is. You won't receive me if you don't know who he is. You know who he is by the revelation of the gospel, and you receive him. Now look what it says in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. And this is not just talking about being an adopted son. Oh, what a glorious thing that is to be an adopted son. But this is talking about being a son by birth, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. This is, yes, it's talking about being an adopted son, and I'm all for being his adopted son. But in some respects, I like this better, son by birth. Every believer is a son by birth. To as many as received him, what a glorious supernatural thing that is, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him for who he is, to receive his saving benefits, to love who he is, to those people, he gave the right, the privilege to become the sons of God, and then this is what receiving Christ is. I love the way we're given this simple explanation as to what it means to receive Christ. Even to them which believe on his name. What is it to receive Christ? To believe on his name. That's what God the Holy Spirit says it is. To receive Christ. Now, you can listen to preachers and they can say all kinds of weird things and you won't know what they're talking about. But here God the Holy Spirit says this is what it is to receive Christ. To believe on his name. Now his name is his attributes. It's the person behind the name. You know, when I call upon the name of the Lord to save me, that doesn't mean I'm just verbally pronouncing his name. It means I'm saying, Lord, save me by your attributes. Save me by your sovereign will. Will my salvation? I have to have you to do that. Save me by your righteousness and justice. Save me in a way that honors your justice to put away my sin. Save me by your grace, your saving grace. Save me by your power. You're omnipotent. You have the power to make it to where my sin is no more. Save me by your power. All his attributes are revealed in the salvation of a sinner. I said this recently. I read, and it sounds, I know it's so, even though I don't know enough about the original language to explain it, but I read where I am that I am means I save in the manner which I save. And who God is seen in the manner which he saves. And to be wrong on the manner in which he saves is to be wrong on who he is. This is how important this is. When I call upon his name, I call upon all of his attributes to save me. I believe that Jesus Christ is that one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Do you believe that? I believe he's holy. I believe he's sovereign. I believe he's all powerful. I believe he's eternal. He never had a beginning. I believe he's immutable. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. I believe he's independent. He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you about it. I don't need anything from you. I believe he's infinite. I believe he's all wise. I believe he's love, grace, mercy. I believe his name, even to those which believe in his name. Now, not only do I believe in his name, I am relying on all that his name represents. I am relying on him being who he says he is. I'm relying on him being true and faithful to his word. I love what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 7 after the Lord told him what he was going to do for him. You know how David replied? Do as thou hast said. Do as thou hast said. That's the best plea I can make. Do as thou hast said. I'm relying on his utter, he can't lie, his faithfulness. I'm relying on this. When God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm relying on what he says is true. That's all he's looking for is the blood of his son. I'm relying on that. I don't have anything else. I'm relying on that. And that's what it is to believe on his name. You believe who he is, and you are relying on who he is to save you. I'm relying on his power to put away my sins. I'm relying on his ability to save me. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, to receive him and to believe on his name is the same thing. It is that simple. Now, let's close with John's conclusion to all this. Verse 13, which were born. That's why you received it. You were born of God. This wasn't some decision you made that makes you different from somebody else. You were birthed. You were fathered. You were born of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the Lord said. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh cannot rise above its source. But oh, that which is born of the Spirit, that's the new nature, that's the new birth. Which were born, not of blood. If I'm saved, it doesn't have anything to do with any kind of family connection. You know, there's a group of people who baptize infants. Presbyterians, Catholics, well, I baptize infants. Somehow that they're part of the covenant family and they're more likely to be saved. That's so foolish. You can't get anything like that from the Scriptures. You see, there's no connection between the flesh as to why someone would be saved. I'm not saved because my mom and dad were, because my brother and sister are. There's no fleshly connections which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. The Lord said, it's not of him that willeth. How many different ways are there to take that? It's not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There's never been a bigger lie than that man has a free will. You don't have a free will. Your will's chained to sin. It's controlled by your nature. God doesn't have a free will. The very essence of that is an absurdity. Your will is controlled by your nature. And you're not saved because of some decision you made, some exercise of your will. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. We're going to pray for you until you're saved. Well, I hope it happens, but that doesn't mean it's going to. Well, what if we get 1 million people praying for that people and living such a good life before them and giving them such a good example? Surely they'll be saved. Won't save a flea. Not the will of man. Born. Birth by God. Born of above, from above. Born again. Not of blood. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of man. But of God. That is who receives him. Now, by God's grace, may every one of us receive him. We receive who he is. Oh, we receive what he did. And we receive everything he said. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for the glorious person of thy Son. And Lord, we ask in his name that we might be birthed into your kingdom by your Spirit for your glory, and that we might be able to receive your Son, that we might be divinely enabled truly to believe on his name. Lord, take away any thoughts of self-salvation. Take away any thoughts of what we need to do or how we need to change or how we need to be. Lord, enable us to simply believe on the name of your Son. In his blessed name we pray.